सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मवीत्वरम्। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणचक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि। सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत्। अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणमे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः। ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु।
ओम
शांति
शांति
शांति शांति।
शांति।
विल डू मंत्रा नंबर 2 ऑफ चैप्टर 1। श्रोत्रस्य
श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रं
श्रोत्रम् मनसो मनो यत् वाचोह वाचम् सहु प्राणस्य प्राणः। चक्षुश्च चक्षुरतिमुच्य धीराः वेद्यास्मा लोका अमृता भवन्ति। So we have finished 3 chapters of this beautiful Keyan Upanishad, and the last week we had heard the story, and very briefly I'll just in 2 minutes cover the story. So as we know, the Devatas had won the battle over the Asuras, and they thought they had done it, and they became very arrogant, not realizing that it is Bhagwan's presence that had caused them to win. And so they decided to have a great party, and they were congratulating each other. And Bhagwan decided to teach them a lesson. So he appeared as a yaksha. Yaksha is a very beautiful, brilliant,
Light.
being, light, but a, in, being an individual. And appeared some distance away from them, and then the devatas did not know who this was, and they said, "Who invited him to the party?" So they sent Agni to find out who is this yaksha, and the Agni went and told, said that, "I am the great Agni, and I can burn anything." And the yaksha put a blade of grass and asked him to burn it, and the Agni tried with all his power, could not burn it. Then he came back. He said, "I could not find out who this yaksha was." So then they sent Vayu, and Vayu said the same thing: "I can blow anything on this earth. I am Matarishwa." And same way, he gave him the blade of grass, which the Vayu was unable to blow out. Then they came. He also came back, and then they decided to send Indra, who is their leader, their king. And he first went with arrogance, and the moment he went there, the yaksha disappeared, did not even give him an appointment, did not talk to him. But Indra did not get discouraged. He actually, it gave him humility that who is this powerful being that, Agni and Indra could not find out, and now I am also unable to find out. So he sat there, waited patiently. And at that same spot, a beautiful lady came. Her name was Uma. And she is the daughter of the Himalaya Mountain. It is Parvati Devi, who appeared as Uma with brilliant gold ornaments, very brilliant appearance, very beautiful. And she is the one that told him who Brahma was. And who is Uma? Uma is Parvati, who is the Ardhanarishvara. Lord Shiva is half Shiva and half Shakti, and she is that Shakti. And she was also the guru who revealed this knowledge to Indra. So now before we do the three mantras, I'm hoping to do three mantras today. I'd like to read some commentary upon this story. And some of this commentary will also pertain to the three mantras that we cover today, the first three mantras. So what does the story represent? The Indras represent the higher values and the Devas represent the lower values. And the success of an individual when his higher values conquer his lower values, sometimes as sadhakas, we get very arrogant that, look, I am so good. I can meditate so long. I can do puja. I can chant. I know so much. I have studied all the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. So this arrogance comes in us. And that is what happened to the Devas, where the higher, so in the sadhaka also, his higher values may conquer his lower values, but that can result in arrogance. That is one problem. The other problem is that we try to know God as an object. That's what Indra and Vayu did. They tried to know who this Yaksha is as an object. And in so, who is Agni and who is Vayu? So Agni is the deity of speech. You know, speech. That is, they say, that's why in speech, they say a lot of fire. Agni is also the deity of the eyes because it represents form. So it was the first form that was visible after space and air. Agni was the first form. So Agni is the deity of the eyes and of the speech. And Vayu is the deity of touch. You know, you can touch air. You can only know by touch. And also it is the deity of pranas because Vayu is required for our prana, apana, all the, you know, pranas to function. So what this represents, that this Lord Brahman, the consciousness, cannot be known as an object, cannot be seen by the eyes. Agni cannot be described by the speech. Vayu cannot be felt by touch and all the senses. And speech also represents all the organs of action. So the organs of action like hands, feet, cannot touch it. You know, sense organs cannot know it, and even the pranas cannot reach it, you know, cannot find out what it is. And because they all need the self, the consciousness, the life principle within to function, and that is what Bhagwan wanted to teach them, because Bhagwan is Yaksha, is that inner life consciousness, Paramatma. And when there is arrogance, then this knowledge will not be revealed to anybody. That's why they say, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. Knowledge gives humility. If you don't have humility, that means you don't have knowledge. And Indra representing the mind, also the mind cannot know it. You know, the mind cannot know it. And that's why the Yaksha disappeared when the mind came. Signifying that even through the mind, through the intellect, we are not. So none of our equipments can know this self. Only it can. And that's why when it disappeared, they say, oh, it is Shunya. Oh, Bhagwan. That's why in Buddhism, they say it is Shunya. Some of the other, you know, Nyayas also, they say, oh, Bhagwan is, there is no Bhagwan. In fact, the majority of these different nyayas, different darshanas that we have in Sanatana Dharma, in Hinduism, do not believe in God. And if we have time at the end, I'll just briefly cover these darshanas or maybe some other talk. What are our major darshanas? Or if we cover that, then we can do less mantra. Maybe I'll just briefly cover the darshanas that are important. So the mind has to surrender with humility. And that is very important. Complete surrender that, Lord, I cannot know you. Only you can reveal yourself. And that's what Indra, after his initial arrogance, he became humble, he became quiet, and he just waited. And so you need surrender and you need calmness of mind. a mind that is agitated, disturbed, arrogant, has any of these negativities, cannot know. But a calm, peaceful mind, that's why also we say, you know, in meditation, in puja, your mind becomes calm. And in that calm mind, knowledge will reveal. But anything, if we are trying to study, and if our mind is disturbed, then it does not work. The other thing that Indra did, after initially he went to find out who this Yaksha was, but once the Yaksha disappeared, then he just waited there, wanting nothing, desiring nothing, having no intentions, no agitation, no desire. That's what Gurudev says. When you sit in meditation, we also discussed in our Sunday meditation this week, sit with the idea that I am desiring nothing, I want nothing. I am, even the idea that I am meditating upon God, that also should go away. And that I am the meditator, that thought also should go away. And the attention should be inward on the self, but without any desire to acquire, no reach anywhere. And that's how Indra stayed. And that's when Uma appeared. And Umaji represents Shruti and Guru. She represents Shruti, the scriptures, and the teacher. And these are the two things we need. And so she appears as his guru, as his teacher, and as Shruti Mata, and reveals this knowledge. So what they say is that we need, first of all, we need firm determination. You know, in the Sadhan Chatushtaya, they have Mumukshutvam. So the fourth one, that I must have firm determination to reach. All the Sadhan Chatushtaya are necessary, but this one is very important, and Vairagya. Second is, my intellect should be sharp. And how does the intellect become sharp? By understanding this knowledge, going to a teacher, and slowly removing all the negativities. So when the mind is calm and the intellect has the clear knowledge, through listening, contemplation, then this compassionate Lord reveals himself. And that's what Uma came as the teacher to tell him, that it is Yaksha was no other than the Supreme Lord. And that is the self, the Paramatma, the Lord within us. That is Yaksha, Bhagwan, Ishwara, whatever you want to call him. But initially, Indra's knowledge was paroksha, as for all of us. You know, when a guru reveals the knowledge, or the scriptures reveal this knowledge, it is para aksha, it is by another person's eyes. Uma knew who Yaksha was, but Indra did not know. He only had heard from her. And then we saw, I had talked a few weeks back, how Indra spent 101 years with his guru, with Prajapati, to get this final knowledge. So it needs our attention and our determination and consistent action, and not to give up. You know, you say, oh, 6 months I have been meditating, nothing happened, 1 year, nothing. Just keep on doing it and keep on doing it. Ultimately, the truth will reveal itself. If your desire is strong, if your actions are sincere, and if your effort is directed in the right direction through guidance of Guru and the scriptures. So what Yaksha represents, oh, I was going to ask people, should we do Saguna Bhakti or not? I forgot to ask. Anybody wants to talk about that? Saguna Bhakti, should it be done? Why? Kerry, you said yes. Why?
Because I'm not sure what it is.
Saguna is worshipping the form. Worshipping the form, you know. Should we do that or no?
Yes.
Anyone? Yeah, Shaku, yes. Why? You can unmute. You're muted.
So that will help us to go from higher to lower in our improvement in our concentration.
Right, right. Very good. From
that
the
it will take us to oneness.
Right, right. Improve our concentration, take us to oneness with that Lord. And from the lower, it will take us to the higher. Very good. What else?
When we do the Saguna Upasana, it helps us to go higher and see the oneness everywhere.
Yes.
But and also when you see that oneness everywhere, then I think our own vices also kind of calm down. You get rid of your vices. You don't feel those emotions of anger, jealousy, because you're seeing that oneness everywhere. It's easy.
Very true. Very good.
Removing avrittis
uh-huh.
helps in removing avrittis.
Right. Right. Anything else?
I think mind is so chanchal. It is not steady at all.
Right.
If we have any form in front of us to concentrate, to train our mind for the concentration, and when the mind is concentrated and the thoughts have disappeared or cleared slowly and slowly, which is sometimes very difficult, we can go to Nirguna.
Yeah, thank you. Very good. Anything else? Anybody? Yeah, Kerry.
I was thinking, you know, when you have a form and you're practicing, you're practicing activities that you need a form to do a practice. It's kind of like if you're practicing doing your homework or something, you need something to practice on. I mean, eventually you don't, when you practice, maybe you don't need that, but.
Alamban, support.
Alamban, the support. Neeru, you want to add anything to this?
Well, that's what, yeah, our mind needs some support.
Support.
Like Gary is saying, it is called Alamban. You know, you have the form.
Right.
And then it's like they give the example of an elephant when he's going here and there. But if you give a, you
a
know,
stick
in his trunk, then he goes straight. He doesn't go here and there. So same way the form of the Lord will make it. So concentration of mind, and getting all your indriyas involved in it, all your sense organs are involved in puja. When you do puja,
right,
you know, all your sense organs are involved. So it's easier for a person to do. So from there, then you can go to upasana, which is done japa, upasana, like in the, you know, that upadesa. So,
kaya vang mana, karya muttama.
Kare.
Yeah. With the body, you do puja, vak, you do speech. Then with the mind, you do contemplation. Kaya vang mana, karya muttamam, pujanam japas, chintanam kramat. Right. Anything else?
It is like the support that you use to go on the other side of the wall. Using the support of the Saguna Upasana,
yes,
you completely still your mind and go to that place of thoughtlessness, and you are completely focused.
Very good. Very good. All of you have given very nice points.
Purification
of mind.
Concentration.
There's one other point that I had heard is that when you have a particular Ishta Devta, see, you should have one and not switch around, you know, not say, oh, well, this year I do Ganesha and then he didn't help me, so I do, not like that. Find one Ishta Devta that you connect with, develop total love, connection, surrender. And what happens is that, and when you hear about the Leelas of that particular Devta, see, Bhagwan Krishna, what were his Leelas? And then how did he, you know, overcome all his problems? And then how did he teach Bhagavad Gita? So all that. Or when Lord Shiva, you see how he's sitting in meditation, how shant he is, how calm he is. Or Sri Rama, even though was a human being, he totally lived his life as an ideal, you know, Uttam Purusha, the one who is even in the body, but he is Bhagwan himself. So when you read about the Leelas and stories, that's why we listen to, you know, Ramayana, Bhagavat on Tuesday evening, because the more you listen to Bhagwan's glories and his qualities, slowly you develop those qualities. See, whatever you come in touch with, you become. It's like an iron piece, you know, sitting in front of a magnet becomes a magnet. So slowly we not that we become Bhagwan or become like Bhagwan, but we slowly imbibe those qualities. So that's the idea of studying the Leelas or reading Ramayana or Bhagavat and all. So thank you all for very good answers.
That's why they say, no, association even with people, they say keep good friends so you get good qualities. So same way, if you think of the Lord in that way. So
Right. Man known by the company he keeps. Yeah, Jayashree.
And also, as long as you have body consciousness, it is hard to do nirguna upasana.
Yes.
So you will have to do a saguna upasana so that you can get rid of the restlessness of your mind. You do karma yoga to purify your mind and get rid of the restlessness with a saguna upasana, and then you're ready for the knowledge, which is just you have to purify the mind to get ready for the knowledge, the final jnana.
Thank you. Yeah, saguna upasana purifies the mind. Gary, you have anything?
Well, this is kind of along what Jayashree was saying. You know, you were talking about there were the different gods, and they were trying to know God as an object. And, you know, I was thinking that each of these is kind of like the different koshas, the coverings, and transcending beyond them.
Right. That's right. Transcending. Thank you. So we'll move on. So the idol should take us to the ideal. That's what Gurudev always says, the idol. So we need the form to go beyond the form. From the form, you have to go to the formless. As Jayashree said, directly to contemplate on formless is impossible. Bhagavan says in the 12th chapter, Klesho adhikarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham. Deha vad bhira vapyate. As long as we have this body identification, to contemplate on the formless is very difficult. So start with the form, but understand that don't limit God to that form, because then you're limiting Bhagavan. If he's only in that murti of Sri Krishna or Ram or Shiva, then you are limiting. That represents the totality. See, that manifestation of Bhagavan in that form is actually the total. That's why Bhagwan Shiva has Shivaling, Bhagwan Vishnu has Shaligrama. So these represent the formless aspect of the Lord. And bhakti, it develops bhakti. Meditation on the form develops love for God. And without love, you will not go anywhere. We don't go anywhere where we don't have love. If that is what drives us is love. That is the most potent force in the world. And so that's why all this reason, saguna upasana must be done. And then Gurudev says that we should detach and attach. You know, detach from the lower and attach to the higher. How do we do that? By three yogas, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga, and karma yoga. With karma yoga, you get purification of mind. With bhakti, you get single-pointedness. And with jnana yoga, you get clarity of knowledge. And so all those three are required and ultimately leads to oneness. All of you spoke about that. And Kain Upanishad is a special Upanishad because it emphasizes bhakti more than any other Upanishad. All Upanishads may basically connect little bit here and there with bhakti. But in Kain Upanishad, it is emphasized very strongly. So that's why Kain Upanishad is the one that gives us the most connection with bhakti and with saguna upasana than the other Upanishads. The other Upanishads directly start from a much higher level. And of course, Kain Upanishad has jnana also, obviously. And they say this Bhagwan is, Brahman is durvigneya. It is difficult to know. And at the same time, it is nitya siddha. It is always present with us. Always present, but at the same time, difficult to know because we are always looking outside. Brahman is within, but it is covered by ignorance. Agyanena avritam jnanam. Tena mohyati jantavaha. Bhagavan says in the Bhagavad Gita that ignorance, what he means is this vasanas and this ignorance of the self veils this truth from us. And the purpose of all these techniques is to go inward and discover God within. That's why when we offer the flower, we touch the heart and then offer to the Bhagwan. That means that the Lord within me is now the Lord I'm seeing outside. That's why when we invoke, we say avahayami, sthapayami, pujayami. I'm invoking the Lord that is in my heart, in this murti or in this picture or in this shivaling. And then when at the end you say yathasthanam pratishthapayami, you have one hand on your heart and one hand on the Lord. That means may the Lord go back into my heart and stay there. So this is the brief introduction. I won't do the darshanas. We'll do the three mantras. And then if we have time, we'll do the darshanas. Unless people want to hear darshanas, or should we start the mantras? I think mantras let's do. So Pallavi, you have mantra number one. Would you like to repeat?
Chapter
four, mantra number one. Please keep 1, 2, 3 ready because I'll ask people. Chapter four, mantra 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Sa Brahma iti.
Sa Brahma iti.
Ha uvacha.
Ha uvacha.
Brahmano va etad vijaye.
Brahmano va etad vijaye.
Mahiyadvam iti.
Mahiyadvam iti.
Tataha eva. Vidanchakara.
Vidanchakara.
Brahma iti. You can mute and all chant together. Sa Brahma iti ha uvacha. Brahmano va etad vijaye. Mahiyadvam iti tataha aiva vidanchakara Brahma
iti.
Okay, so sa. So sa means she. So here she is Uma, who revealed this knowledge to Indra and to all of us. Sa Brahma iti, that was Brahman, the one that you, but Brahman appearing as a form, in a sagun form, appeared as a form, even though Brahman is, actually Brahman has no qualities. This was Ishvara. Ishvara appears as Yaksha. Ishvara is also formless. Ishvara has qualities, love, compassion, kindness. But Ishvara has no form. Brahman has no form and no qualities even. Brahman has no love, compassion, kindness, none of that. Brahman is beyond all. But that Brahman working through Maya takes up the job of Ishvara to create, sustain and destroy. Continues Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Is that Brahman alone appearing as Ishvara? So that Ishvara who is formless but is Saguna appeared as Yaksha. So that is Sa Brahma iti. So when she mentions Brahma, it is not that Brahman, the total consciousness, but Ishvara or Paramatma. Brahma iti. Ha uvacha. Ha means in this way, she spoke. And what did she say? That was Brahman. And then also she says, Brahmanaha of Brahman. That's the sixth case. But it becomes Brahmano because of the Sandhi rule. Of Brahman va etad vijaye. Va means indeed, certainly. Etad vijaye, this victory of yours is Brahman's victory. And vijaye, and in this, that is the seventh case, in this victory, mahiyadvam iti, you are becoming very proud, very arrogant. And it is because of this Brahman that you have gained greatness. Mahiyadvam iti means this greatness you have attained as you conquered the asuras and you are kings of heaven. It is because of this victory of Brahman. He is the one, the Lord. He or it, because again there is no sex. That Brahman alone, in that victory you have achieved greatness. Tataha eva. That way, he knew. He means her eva, that he tata, he her eva, he alone knew. Vidanchakara, Vidanchakara means he knew Brahma iti. So Indra knew that this was Brahman, this was the Brahma, the Lord, who manifested as Yaksha. So he came to know and he developed some humility and surrender. So there's a very beautiful story in Mahabharata. I'll tell that story. What happened was that Bhima had married Hidamba. Hidamba was a demoness.
Yeah.
And he had married her and they had a son, Ghatotkach. Mm-hmm. So now, being the son of Bhima and that demoness, he had tremendous power. He was very powerful, very strong, and great warrior. And what happens is Asuras, because he was the daughter or son of Asura, Asuras get more power at night. You know, that's why they say all these Asuri tendencies increase at night. All the wrong things are done at night in the darkness. So he used to get a lot of power at night. And it so happened that on one of the days of the war, after Bhishma had fallen, then Karna joined the battle. Karna and Drona were there. And on one of the nights of the 18 wars, the war was supposed to be fought day and night. So they fought in the day, but they continued to fight at night. All other days, they would end at sunset and then start again next day in the morning. But that particular night was decided that it will be a night war. And Ghatotkach and his army of Asuras became very powerful, and Ghatotkach was just destroying the Kaurava army left and right. He was son of Bhima, and constantly thousands of these Kauravas were destroyed. So many, you know, great soldiers and warriors and elephants and all that. And Duryodhana was frustrated because he said, oh, what's going to happen to us? He's going to finish our whole army by the time the night is over. So he goes to Karna. He says, do something. Karna says, you know, what do you want me to do? He says, you have that Shakti, you know, that missile, like the arrow, the weapon, Shakti. And with that, it can be used only once. And with that, Karna could destroy anybody. He could have killed anybody he wanted. That was the power given to him by Bhagwan. And so Duryodhana says, use that Shakti. He says, no, I have kept that for Arjuna. When I meet Arjuna, I want to kill Arjuna with that Shakti. I don't want to waste it on Ghatotkach. He says, but if we don't, there won't be any war left. He will finish us tonight and we will be gone. And you have to use it. So he kind of forces him. So Karna releases that Shakti and it kills Ghatotkach. But Ghatotkach, before dying, he is lying on the floor. And he's not yet fully dead. He's still talking, but he's on his way out. And Bhagwan Krishna approaches him to bless him because he was a great noble warrior. And, you know, he sacrificed his life for the Pandavas, young man. And Krishna says, what can I do for you? He says, I would like to see the rest of this battle. Even though I know I am dying, but I want to see the rest. I want to stay alive for that many days. So what Bhagwan does, puts his head on a tree. His body gets cremated, but his head is put on the tree slightly higher. And from there, he watches the whole battle. All the Kauravas, Pandavas, everything was going on. And so he watched the entire battle. And at the end of the battle, when he had still not given up his life, Bhima and Arjuna started arguing who was greater. You know, same thing. We won the battle. You know, Bhima says, it was me. I killed 100. All the 100 brothers were killed by Bhima himself, including Duryodhana. Arjuna said, no, it was my arrows. Because of that, Bhishma and Drona and Karna and all were destroyed. And so they were arguing with each other. And so they said, you know what? Bhagwan, that's all of them gathered, Bhagwan, everybody was there. They said, let's ask Ghatotkach, because he was on top and he could see the whole battle. Who won the battle? Who truly won? So they asked Ghatotkach, what did you see? He says, I saw the battle. I saw only one thing, Krishna Sudarshan Chakra moving. That's the only thing I saw. I didn't see Bhima. I didn't see Arjuna. Only I saw Krishna Sudarshan Chakra, and this whole victory was his. So beautiful story how that, you know, the Lord alone does everything, but we start thinking that we did it. I am great. And Bhagwan in the 11th chapter, he says, Tasmatva Mutishtha Yasho Labhasva Kritva Shatrun Bhungshva Rajyas Samriddham Maiye Nihata Purva Meva Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachin. So he tells Arjuna, Utishtha, you get up, and Yasho Labhasva, and you get all the glory. You know, and having conquered the Kauravas, you enjoy this kingdom. You get the glory. You become the victor. You get the kingdom. You enjoy. I don't need anything. And he says, and I know you will win. Why? Because Mayeva Nihata, they have already been killed by me. Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Duryodhan, all the Kauravas have already been killed by me. You just become an instrument alone. And then he says, Savya Sachin. Savya Sachin means left-handed warrior. What it means is Arjuna could shoot with both hands. He could shoot with the left hand. He could shoot with the right hand. That was his ability. So on the one hand, he calls him, Savya Sachin, the warrior who can shoot with both hands. And on the second hand, he tells him, you are just an instrument. So he praises him, but at the same time, he puts him in his place. That whatever you are winning is because of me. So what we have to do, but again, does not mean that we don't do anything. They say God has done everything, then Arjuna could have said, why should I fight? No, we have to do our job, and then only Bhagwan's grace will appear. So we have to have a resolve, a firm resolve that that is my goal. And Kartritva and Bhoktritva we have to reduce. Kartritva means the doership and the enjoyership. We have to reduce the doership and enjoyership and understand that Chaitanya, the consciousness alone, is doing everything. And this Sanghata, this body, mind, intellect complex is only meant for the fire. It's only good for burning in the fire, has actually zero ability without the presence of Bhagwan. So anytime we do anything successful, one should immediately remember that it is Bhagwan alone that is doing it. And how do we hear that? From the Agama Praman. It cannot be revealed by the eyes. It cannot be by, you know, Anuman and Upama, all those that, you know, all those techniques of knowing, only through the scriptures and the guru. So this is mantra number one. We'll chant two and three together, and then I'll do the meaning of that. Kerry, you want to do number two?
Okay.
Sa Brahma iti.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, sorry. Tasmat va.
Tasmat va.
Ete devaha.
Ete devat.
Deva. There is a visarga, but there is lop. That is sandhi root. Atita ram eva.
Yep. Atita ram meva.
Anyan devan.
Anyan devan.
Yad agnihi.
Yad agnihi nihir.
Vayuhu.
Vayuhu.
Indraha.
Indraha.
Ehi enat.
Estehenan.
Yeah, just listen to me. You
I'm trying to read it.
Ehi enat.
Please say it again.
Tehi enat. Or you can read whatever, either way. Should I ask somebody else?
Indraste yenan ne
Nedishtam.
Nedishtam.
Prasprushuhu.
Prasparshuhu.
Dehi enat.
Dehi enat.
Pratamo pratamaha.
Pratamo vidanakara.
Brahma iti.
Brahma meti.
Okay, you can mute, we'll chant together. Tasmat va ete devaha atitaram iva anyan devan yad agnihi vayuhu indraha dehi enat nedishtam paspruṣuhu dehi enat prathamo vidanchakara brahma iti. So tas, and then let's do number three also. Auntie, you want to chant number three?
Okay, I'm ready.
Tasmat
va
Indraha
Indraha
Atitaram
iva Anyan Devan
Sahi enat
Sahi enat
Nedishtam
Edictram
Pasparshaha
Pasparshaha
Sahi enat
Sani enat
Prathamo Vidanchakara
Prathamo Vidanchakara
Brahma iti.
Brahma iti.
You can mute, we'll all chant together. Tasmat va Indraha atitaram iva anyan devan sahi enat nedishtam pasparshasa hi enat prathamo vidanchakara brahma iti. So, we'll do the meaning of 2 and 3. And if we don't have time, we can finish next week the commentary. Tasmatva. So therefore, indeed, va means for certainly, therefore, ete deva. So ete deva means these three devas, Indra, Agni and Vayu. Deva atitaram iva, as though they excelled. They excelled the other devas. Why? Iva, I will explain in the commentary. Atitaram, Iva, they excelled as though. Whom did they excel? Anyan Devan. All the other gods, you know, Varuna and Yamaraj and all the other gods were excelled. These three are excelled. They became ahead of the others as though. And who are they? Yat Agnihi Vayuhu Indraha. So he has named all three. Tehi enata means they, this, nedishtam. Nedishtam means they came near to it. So instead of enat, instead of etat, they are saying enat. Enat because plural. That this knowledge was known to these three and they came close to Brahman. Pasprushuhu. And they perceived it. Perceived it not... initially they perceived it as an object, but ultimately the knowledge goes within. Tehi enat prathamo vidanchakara. Enat, these three became prathama. They became the first knowers, vidanchakara of Brahma. Iti. That's why they are glorified. And then in mantra number 3, tasmatva, and therefore indeed, Indraha atitaram iva. Indra excelled even the other gods, even Agni and Vayu, Anyan Devan, all the other devas. He excelled even Vayu and Agni. Sahi enat nedishtam. He came the closest to the truth, even though he did not see Yaksha, but the knowledge that he got from the Guru and the scriptures, Uma, that brought him close to this pasparsha, and he perceived it. Again, he did not perceive it as an object, but as the self. And that's what Uma revealed to him. Sahi enata. In this way, he became Prathama Vidanchakara. He became the first knower. So Indra became the first. And then he came back and he, Agni and Vayu were waiting outside because they were frustrated. They did not know. So he revealed to Agni and Vayu first and then to the other devas. So as we said, they excelled because they knew that. And that's why also in every ritual, we do that. Indraye na mama, Indraye swaha, Indraye na mama, and then Agnaye swaha, Agnaye na mama. You know, when the priest is chanting, so Indra, Agni, and Vayu are always invoked first. And this knowledge, Brahma Vidya, what is the glory of this knowledge? That it can give us whatever we want. If you want power, you can get it. If you want wisdom, you can get it. If you want anything on this earth, or if you want to go beyond the five koshas and to transcend, that also this Brahma Vidya can do us, to take us. So you can take you inward or outward. Whatever, whether you want outer success or inner success, all is obtained by this Brahma Vidya. And Jnani, a wise person, has no problem on this earth. A wise person, wherever he or she goes, there are no, the problems are for Ajnanis, you know, for the ignorant people. They are the ones who have the problem. Because in life, as long as you are looking for, you know, joy outside, you will end up with sorrow. And only when you go inward, that is when you find continuous, uninterrupted joy. The joy from external is always goes away. It never stays permanent. And Indra came very close to this knowledge, even though he did not see Yaksha. He came close to this knowledge, and that's why he became as the inner circle. You know, we say, oh, these are in our inner circle, those are who are close friends. But your neighbor may not be in your inner circle, even though he's closest. You may hardly ever even talk to the neighbor or know who the neighbor is. So the distant closeness is not a physical closeness, it's mental closeness. How mentally you feel connected with the person, that is true closeness. So that is what we have to do. And so they say that Yaksha, the Lord, represents Sukham, represents joy. Everyone is looking for joy. And that is true joy, knowing the Lord's presence within. And how do we get it? Bhagwan says in the Bhagavad Gita, tat vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So you approach the teacher, first of all, by shashtan namaskar. You fall down at the feet and you surrender your ego. So first is, that's why we prostrate, you know, to the Swamijis or to the Gurus, we bow down. Because they are the ones who have given us this knowledge, and Pujya Gurudev also. That's why we begin every yajna with remembering Pujya Gurudev, offering our homage. So pranipatena, by prostration, by humility, and pariprashnena, and asking the right kind of questions. Like, you don't need to go to the teacher and say, you know, the stock market is down, can you do something? Or I'm having problems with my teenage boy, you know, can you help me? You go to teacher to ask Brahma Vidya. Don't ask nonsense things, you know, or I'm having problems with my spouse or my whatever, mother-in-law. No, all those things you leave aside when you go to the teacher, ask for Brahma Vidya. And we have to accept our shortcomings and where we are lacking in qualifications. See, if I have certain things I'm lacking, maybe I don't do enough service, karma yoga, I don't do enough bhakti, puja, I don't spend enough time in study, I don't spend time in meditation. So these four things one has to develop: karma, service, bhakti, love for God, knowledge, and then meditation. So these four paths have to be taken. And meditation includes yoga, also doing some yoga exercises and all. And through these four paths, one can go beyond. And what it does is it makes the mind calm. And why do we need the mind to be calm? Because the self, the Brahma Vidya, reflects in the mind and intellect. You know, they say reflected consciousness. So this Brahman reflects in the mind and intellect, and the mind and intellect are closest to the truth within us. So, of course, vasanas are the obstruction, but mind and intellect are the closest. So a calm mind with the right knowledge, then this person becomes Brahmavit when this consciousness is reflected in the mind and intellect, and the consciousness illumines the thoughts. You know, Pratibodha Viditam, we had said in chapter 2 in mantra number 4, it is the light of consciousness. Pratibodha, Pratibodha means all my thoughts, all my actions are illumined and known to that light of consciousness, and that I am. So that understanding makes us Brahmavit, knower of Brahman. And they say, Brahmavit, Brahmaiva Bhavati. Knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. Actually, we all are Brahman, but we don't know that. But knower of Brahman understands I am Brahman and abides in that truth at all time. And that alone is real victory. Any other victory, any other success, any other achievement in this world is absolutely mithya. It is an illusion. Whatever we accomplish in the world, you may be a great scholar, you may have read a lot, you may be able to chant, you may be able to give talks, you may be able to do all that. But until you have experienced, become one with that truth. Experience, again, is not the correct word. Unless you have reached that state of oneness with that Brahman, where Brahman and I are one. And that can happen when we do all these things, when we do all these practices, do saguna upasana, do karma, do jnana, and then sit in meditation. And in that silence, and when your mind is still, and throughout the day, when you function with that attitude that God is working through me, I am nobody without him, then Bhagwan reveals himself. The knowledge reveals itself, Om or Atma or Self. So here we can end. Basically, we have covered the first three mantras, and we can see that the commentary that I gave in the beginning is also the commentary of these first three mantras, where she reveals to him who is Brahman, and then he reveals it to Agni and Vayu. And these three excelled the others because they, Agni and Vayu, were able to directly see and talk to Bhagwan. And he was able to get this knowledge from the guru. So these three are excelled Eva. Why they say Eva? Because in Brahman, there is no gradation. Once you know there is Brahman, then there is one. There is no that higher Brahman, lower Brahman. Everything is Brahman. Everything is one. But at the level of our understanding, we have this gradation. I am better. He is better. She is lower. I am. But at the level of Brahman, there is no. So that's why he says, Eva, as though they excelled, but actually they understood oneness. And that is that there is no higher or lower in that highest knowledge. So that is where we'll end. We have about 5-6 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, anything they would like to add.
Anilji, I still didn't understand why Akshar disappeared as soon as Indra came.
Again, I think because he went with arrogance.
Okay.
Went with arrogance that I am the, and also the, for the mind, because Indra represents mind, the self can, will not reveal itself through the mind. Through the mind, you cannot know it. So to show us that the eyes cannot know it, speech cannot describe it, and mind cannot. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha. So speech cannot describe, eyes cannot see it, and mind cannot know it. So to indicate to Indra and to all of us that you have to transcend the mind, go beyond the mind. But then Indra waited patiently like a good student without getting agitated, without getting disturbed, without even leaving. He said, and then that's called guru, you know, approaching the guru with patience. And then the guru appeared to him. That's why they say you become a good disciple and the guru will appear to teach. So that's why. Thank you. That's a good question. Thank you for asking. Did you get the answer, Auntie?
Yeah. I understood now.
Thank you. Anybody else? You know anything else? Hansa, any comments? Any questions? We have a couple of minutes. You are muted. You are still muted, Hansa. We can't hear you. Can't hear. Okay, thank you. Kerry, you have any comments, questions? No Sanskrit question? Okay. Ambika, you have anything?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to, understand something. When you say Indra Stiti, that is where you, at least at this stage in our lives, that is where we are sort of going towards. Yeah. And then from there, then we get to the higher understanding, or not even understanding, but at least knowing what Brahman is and going towards that, right? So Indra Stiti, in the book, it says like you have to have that passionate eagerness to understand, humility and selflessness, and an inexhaustible faith, that is said to be that Indra condition. So that is what, as humans or at this level, we should all strive to be, right?
Yeah, faith in the guru, faith in the scriptures, and persistence.
I think now I can. Yeah. You can hear me now, right? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, you know, when those three went first time, at that time, I understand those are senses, but they went with the arrogance. Like, say, why you said I can blow everything away and the fire said I can burn everything. So they showed off their power there. So as long as you have arrogance, right, you really don't understand who is standing in front of you. But when by the time Indra goes, Indra already had learned there's something going on. This three didn't, so he went with all curiosity and humility.
Right.
And Yaksha knew that I'm going to be caught very immediately now, because there is nothing else in Indra's mind besides curiosity and humility. And then, of course, Uma comes and explains, because when they didn't see anything. So it's interesting that in our mind, when we try to reach that without our desires, without me and my thing, to reach that, seeing the Brahman, it's only the curiosity will take you there, not your mind thoughts or mind imagination. You really have to just drop the mind almost to be able to see the awareness that even enlightens the mind.
Right, right. The same thing Ambika was saying about the Indra Stiti, you know, have all those qualities that Indra had. Patience, persistence, all those things.
Yeah, I mean, humility and curiosity gives you all the things, because you're curious because you don't know about it. So you accepted that I'm ignorant and then you go there. So that's what I think happened.
Thank you.
The yaksha disappeared.
Ultimately, even the desire to know should go away.
Exactly. So you go with the curiosity, but not
knowing it. As long as you are knowing it, It is something outside. It is not something to be known.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am the knower. That ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. I think we'll end here. We'll continue next week with mantra number 4 and 5, 6. Let's see how many we can do, where some more descriptions of Brahman are given. What are the indicators of Brahman? And of this, Brahman means this Ishvara, this Yaksha, this Lord. And that we'll cover next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you. Thank you very much.